ഭൂമജ്ഞാനതിമിരന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യ മനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപ കദാ മയ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരുണ വൈഷ്ണവാഞ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗരജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാന് സഹഗണലളിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാം ശ. വാഞ്ചാകൽപ്പതരുവശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാംനീ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശക്തികം. ആനന്ദലീലാമയ വിഗ്രഹായ ഹേമാംഗദിവ്യാച്ഛവി സുന്ദരായ തസ്മൈ മഹാപ്രേമ രസപ്രദായ ശ്രീചൈതന്യചന്ദ്രായ നമോ നമസ്തേ. ആരാധ്യ ഭഗവാന് വ്രജേശതനയസ് തദ്ധാമ വൃന്ദാവനം രമ്യാ കാചിത് ഉപാസനാ വ്രജവധു വർഗേന വാ കൽപിതാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവത മഹാനമമലം പ്രേമാപുമാർത്ഥോ മഹാ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമഹാപ്രഭോർമതമിദം തത്രാധാരാന പരഃ. ജയതാം സുരതോരപങ്കോരമമ മന്ദമതിരഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനം. ദിവ്യദവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമദാ ശ്രീമദരത്നാഗാരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമദരാധാശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷാലീഭിർസേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമാനരാസരസാരംഭേ വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിതഃ കരഷൻവേനോർസ്വനേർഗോപീ ഗോപിനാഥശ്രിയേസ്തു നഃ. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗേ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരേ വൃഷഭാനോസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. നമോ നളിനനേത്രായ വേണുവാദ്യ വിനോദിനേ രാധാ അധര സുധാപാന ശാലിനേ വനമാലിനേ. മഹാഭാവസ്വരൂപാസ്ത്വം കൃഷ്ണപ്രിയ വരീയസി പ്രേമഭക്തി പ്രദേ ദേവി ശ്രീരാധികാത്മം നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. അദദനസ്യ തൃണം ദന്തേരിദം യാചയ പുനഃ പുനഃ ശ്രീമദ്രൂപപദാം ഭോജോ തുലിസ്യാം മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. സോ വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ അവർ ഡിസ്കഷൻ ഫ്രം ടീച്ചിങ്സ് ഓഫ് ലോർഡ് ചൈതന്യ. സോ ലാസ്റ്റ് ടൈം വി ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് അബൌട്ട് ദി യുണീക് സിദ്ധാന്ത ദാറ്റ് ഗൗഡിയ സമ്പ്രദായ ഫോളോസ്, അചിന്ത്യ ഭേദാഭേദ തത്വ. and how there are five conversations that gives the whole concept about this Gaudiya Siddhanta. And these five conversations are between Lord Chaitanya and Shripad Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya and Srila Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Lord Chaitanya in conversation with Rai Ramananda. So in this series, the first conversation that has happened in Prayag, well, the first time Lord Gauranga, he imparted the knowledge about Gaudiya philosophy to Rupa Goswami Pad. So let's see the background of Rupa Goswami Pad. It's not that this movement is started by some layman, but it was started and preached by the cream of the society, the people who were like rulers. If we trace back the family line of Rupa Goswami, actually their ancestors, they were from Karnataka, and they belonged to Bharadwaj Gotra Brahmin families. And they were titled as a Dev. So the first person whom their family has started is Sarvajna Dev. And those days actually Dev title was given to the kings. So even though they were Brahmana, born in Brahmana families, but they were kings actually, royal family. So he had a son whose name was Mukunda Dev. So he shifted to Bengal, today's East Bengal. So he went there and he got settled down there. And there also he was ruling that particular place. And after some time, when this Mohammedan invaders, they came, then they actually conquered the whole place, and they kept this Mukund Dev as their one of the ministers. This Mukund Dev had many sons, and one of them was Kumar. So Kumar Dev, he was not either a big scholar or a big statesman. He was just a normal person, a common citizen. But he had 8 sons, and 3 of them are well known. They are like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and the younger one was Anupa, who is known as Vallabh also. Other 5 are not that much known, but one of them was, I think, Venkat. He was the eldest one, and he was also he was one of the ministers of King of Nawab Hussain that time. But because these 3 brothers, they were great Vaishnavas, so they were well known. And not only because of their Vaishnavism, but they had a really big post with the government. And because they were serving Mughals or Mohammedans, so they were outcasted by the Brahmana community there. And they were thinking themselves very low because they are serving militias. But Sanatana Goswami, he joined the joined as a minister, but he became a prime minister within a few years because of his qualification and the trust that Nawab Hussain had in him. So he was named as Sakar Malik. So actual word was Sagar Malik, means like a second to king. So not only in the post, but wealth-wise also he was like that. He was quite wealthy, as equal as a king. And his younger brother, whose name was Santosh Dev, but he was called as a Dabir Khas. So he was like a finance minister. And he was Niji secretary also, Niji Sachiv, personal secretary of Nawab Hussain. When they were in the court or in the king's assembly, they were like a great statements. But when they are home, they are like a great Vaishnavas. They were totally absorbed in reading Bhagavatam, discussing Harikatha. Actually, they were like a born devotees. And they had a great longing to meet Lord Chaitanya when they were staying at Ram Keli. Once Mahaprabhu made his way and he came to meet them personally. So when these two brothers, first time they saw Lord Gauranga, they were dressed like a very simple, a very common man, you know. Just one uttari, dhoti. And very humbly they came in front of Lord Gauranga. Then somebody introduced Mahaprabhu that, hey, these are the big ministers of a king. But Mahaprabhu immediately identified who they are. And they had a great discussion. And after that Mahaprabhu said, okay, you quit everything and come as soon as possible. I have a great task for you to do. And Mahaprabhu was in so much of hurry, he said, before I come to Jagannath Puri, you should reach there. Then the Sanatana Goswami told him that it's not that easy for us to just quit like that. But definitely we'll come to you as early as possible. And after some time, when Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri, and both they got detached actually from their social responsibilities. And Rupa Goswami Pad, he came to Santosh Dev, his name was Santosh Dev. He came to Sanatana Goswami, he said, Dada, now it's very difficult for me to restrain myself from being with Mahaprabhu. So I want to just quit and run away from here. Sanatana Goswami said, hey, how that will happen? I'm the eldest. I came first, so it's me who's supposed to go and take his shelter first, not you. But he said, I can't leave now. It's not possible for me. I'm just quitting and going back. And then he told Sanatana Goswami, you can't do that, you know, because you have a really big responsibility. If you go like that, then the king will take out the hell out of you and everyone of who is attached to you. So you have to be very careful before quitting. For me, I'm just like a finance minister, I can just go. But you have a prime responsibility. After king, it's you who has to manage the whole affairs. And if you quit like that, then king can't tolerate that. So better that you should be there. And since beginning, Sanatana Goswami was very detached. He was not much into material affairs, like money matters and everything. That was taken care of by Rupa Goswami. And from Rupa Goswami, we can learn how to manage our finance. He was a great person in that. So Sanatana Goswami told him that, this much we have, so you better take care of that and make arrangement that our family also should be taken care and our other responsibilities also taken care. Then Rupa Goswami said, okay, I will take care of that. The first thing he did, he shifted his whole family to some unknown place where king can't find them out. Because once they quit, then king will be ruthless and he will just destroy their family members. So he put all of them in some incognito, in some unknown place. He got them settled down. Then 20% of their money, he gave it to the family, so they can maintain themselves. Then 25% of their wealth, he distributed in brahmanas, given charity. 20% he came with some shopkeeper, which can be utilized by Sanatana Goswami to escape from there. And 25% he kept it for the savings, you know, as a safe that they can use it for some time. And then Rupa Goswami, he just quitted and he just gone from there. King came to know about that and he was really upset with that. And gradually Sanatana Goswami also stopped going, attending the royal courts and everything. He was spending much more time at home, reading Bhagavatam, discussing with that, engaging in Harikatha. So whenever king used to send soldiers to ask about why he's not coming, he used to tell them, I'm sick. So king, what he did, he sent his personal vaidya to go and check him, what has happened with him. So he came and he checked and he saw Sanatana Goswami is fit and fine. He does not have any problem. And he came and he reported, king, hey, he's lying actually. Nothing has happened to him. He's fit and fine, but he is engaged in his religious activities. So king got upset because he wanted to attack Katak, because the king of Katak, who was a dear devotee of Jagannath, and he wanted to destroy him. And Sanatana Goswami don't wanted to take part in, because he will be also responsible for that mess. So he said, I'm not going to come. And he said, you can't do that. So you are like betraying me, so I will put you into jail. So Sanatana Goswami was jailed. And during that time, Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Anupam, Vallabh, both they went to the prayag. And that time Lord Gauranga was, I think he was coming back from Vrindavan. So he was staying there. And there on the Dashashwamedh Ghat, he met first time to Rupa Goswami Pad. And Rupa Goswami Pad was instructed by Mahaprabhu. And he gave him four responsibilities. And that's what Mahaprabhu wants from each and every of his followers. Because being Rupanuga, generally we as a Gaudiyas are known as a Rupanuga, who follow the path given by Rupa Goswami. So what path he has given to us, which was given to him by Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu had a four unfulfilled desires that he wanted to get fulfilled from Goswamis. The first thing was, he wanted to stay in Vrindavan. After taking sannyas, he was just walking towards Vrindavan. But before going, he asked his mother, what should I do, ma? Should I go to Vrindavan? Because that's why my inner desire, and I wanted to go there. Then Sachimata was thinking that if he goes to Vrindavan, means forget. We will not have any connection and we will not able to hear anything about him. So what to do? Then somebody suggested, why don't you stay in Jagannath Puri? Mother got also happy. At least in Jagannath Puri means we'll hear about something from someone about him. And if possible, we can go and visit him also. It's close by. So for the sake of mother, Lord decided to stay in Jagannath Puri. But his heart was in Vrindavan. So he wanted to stay in Vrindavan. So that's why he asked Rupa Goswami that you go and stay in Vrindavan. The second thing, he wanted to reveal all the pastime places of Lord. Because when Mahaprabhu went there, he saw that none of the places visible, you know. Nobody was knowing which place, what pastime where happened. Because everything was just like a deserted. Not many people were staying. Like a few people, they were like also, what we can call them as, gypsies like that, who just kept traveling. Nobody was settled there. So beforehand he had sent Bhugarbha Goswami and Loknath Goswami also, so that they can find it out the places. They can, with their bhajan and constant chanting, they can force their lordship to reveal the pastime places of the Lord. To assist them, he asked Rupa Goswami, go and establish holy places. That was the second thing. Third thing was, write books. Because books are the basis, that's what Prabhupada has taught us. You can make temples, but as you know, as time goes, everything got gets disastrous. We had a fabulous temples, but invader came and they just invented all the temples. Nothing is there now. But books, they are still there. So the teachings in the form of books, he wanted to present it, and that he asked Rupa Goswami specifically, that you should write devotional scriptures. And the fourth thing was, finding out the original deities, those were established by Vajrana, the great grandson of Krishna. When Lord wind up his visible pastimes, after that when Vajrana was made a king of Raja, so that time he was not able to see anyone there, you know. When Lord, he wind up his pastimes, the whole Braja got deserted. Nobody was staying there. Then Maharaj Yudhishthira, he made Vajranab as a king of Braja, and he sent few of the people from Indraprast to go and get settled up in Braja. And that time, Vajranab, he inquired from Mother Uttara, Parikshit Maharaj, and Uddhavji, that how Lord looks like, how was his form. And as per the description that has given by Uddhava, he carved three deities of the Lord. One is Madan Mohan, Radha Govindaya, and third one was Gopinathji. They were got carved by Vajrana. So it says that in one day, if you have a darshan of these three deities, then you will have a full darshan of Lord Krishna. Because it said that the face of Madan Mohan is like the face of Lord Krishna himself. The chest, Vakshasthala, is like Radha Govinda. And lotus feet are of Gopinath. So in one day, if you take the darshan of all these three deities, you can see the Lord personally. So, not only that, he established like a four devas, Govindev, Gopinathdev, Baladev, and Keshav. Govindev, Haradev, Keshav Dev and Baldev. These are the four devas he installed. Then two Naths, Srinath and Gopinath. These two Naths and four Mahadevas. One is Kameshwar, Bhuteshwar, Kameshwar in Kamyaman, Bhuteshwar in Mathura, Chakleshwar in Govardhan, and Gopeshwar in Vrindavan. And there are four Devis also. One was Katyayani, which is there at Chirghat, Yogamaya, Vrinda Devi, and one is there, I forgot her name, but Mansa. She's in Mathura. So these four Devis, four Devas, four Mahadevas, two Nath, so they were established by Vajrana. But as time passed away, they got disappeared, you know. Madan Mohanji got disappeared, Gopinathji was disappeared, Govinde was disappeared, Srinathji was. So nobody was there. When Mahaprabhu visited, just Vrindavan is like a totally deserted paddy field, nothing else. When Mahaprabhu went first time, he actually pointed out which one is Radha Kund and which one is Shyama Kund. And then that great Herculean task, he gave it to Rupa. He said, you go to Vrindavan, stay there, do your bhajan, and simultaneously you reveal all the pastime places of the Lord. And it's not a small thing, you know. to find out all these places who got lost for last 4,000 years, to re-establish them, it was not that easy. But accepting the instruction of Mahaprabhu, not only that, even Mahaprabhu asked him to write books. And the great treatise, like a Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is written by Rupa Goswami, which clearly speaks about what is a sadhana bhakti, what is a raganuga bhakti. Because as we were discussing Brahma Samhita for last few months actually, so the whole Gaudiya Siddhanta has explained in this 62 verses of 5th chapter of Brahma Samhita. In the preface of Brahma Samhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that some people, they think that because north they never heard about Brahma Samhita. And that's why they say that actually it was not a part of Vedas, but it was written by Mahaprabhu himself. So if it is written by Mahaprabhu himself, then it's a great thing. Because he is none other than Radha Krishna. So he is the one who has come to establish that Siddhanta. So if he has given, that's wonderful then. And whoever has given it, but it is the real philosophy that Gaudiyas they follow. So all that Siddhanta was first explained to Rupa Goswami Pad on the banks of Ganga in the Prayagraj, at the Dashashwamedh Ghat. When Mahaprabhu went there, had the darshan of Bindu Madhav. After taking the darshan of Bindu Madhav, Mahaprabhu went and stayed with one Brahmana. And that time Rupa Goswami Pad reached there. He went, he had darshan of Bindu Madhav, and then he went to the Dashashwamedh Ghat and he came to know that where Mahaprabhu is staying. So Mahaprabhu himself came to meet him. And at the Dashashwamedh Ghat, when they first meet, then Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he recited one wonderful shloka that was included in Govinda Leelamrita, which is written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in that verse, he says, Yo jnanamatta bhuvanam dayalur ulgayanam apyakarot pramattam swaprema sambata sudaya adbhutehum Shri Chai Sri Krishna Chaitanyamum prapadde. He says there, let me surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the greatest, most merciful personality of a Godhead. He delivers those who are merged in ignorance and offers them the highest gift, love of Krishna, and thus makes them mad after Krishna consciousness. See, here the first time someone has revealed the identity of Mahaprabhu. The famous verse, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Nama, that was recited by, that was actually spoken by, not only recited by, spoken and composed by Rupa Goswami Pad. So you can understand, they were not only great statements, but they were great scholar of Vedic scripture also. And there he revealed that Mahaprabhu is none other than the most merciful personality who has come to give a Krishna prema. See, Sabha Avatara Sara Shiromani Kevala Anandaka. There are many incarnations of the Lord. They came. But Lord Chaitanya came to give that one which has not given by any of his incarnation, and even Krishna himself. He came and delivered people, but he never gave Krishna prema. Why is it so? Who want to guess? Because Krishna never had a Krishna prema. If you have, you will give it. How he can give his own prema? Is it possible? But Mahaprabhu, he came and gave it because he had it. Then question is that how he can give if he is a Krishna? And that has explained by Rupa Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami, he said that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is none other than the combination of Radha and Krishna. He had the mood of Radharani and color of Radharani. Krishna Varanam Atvusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshade. He is the person who is a Krishna but who is not having the blackish complexion. But Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. He had a Radharani's bhava, mood, and dyuti means angakanti, the skin of color. That was like a molten gold. So he had two things of Radharani. One is Radharani's mood, and second is Radharani's complexion. And because he came with the mood of Radharani, and Radharani is the topmost devotee. As per the definition, bhakta means Radharani. That's what Rupa Goswami said. We claim ourselves as a bhakta, but we are not actually. Bhakta means only Radharani. We are all sadhakas, practitioners. We are just practicing. And the perfection is devotee. And then he says that Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishenava. I offer my obeisances to that Lord Gauranga, who is none other than Krishna himself. And who is most magnanimous and merciful, who has come to give Krishna prema. And there is another verse, Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya Himanga Divya Chavi Sundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. I offer my respectful obeisances to that moon of Gauda, that is Lord Gauranga, who is Ananda Leela Maya Vigraha. His form is the form of eternal bliss. Himanga Divya Chavi Sundaraya, whose bodily complexion is like a molten gold, and he has a beautiful, enchanting form. He says, I offer that moon-like Lord Gauranga. As Lord Ramachandra is known as a Maryada Purushottam, Lord Krishna is known as a Leela Purushottam. And Mahaprabhu is known as a Prema Purushottam, who came to give Prema, love of Godhead. When Lord saw Rupa Goswami offering obeisances before him, he became very much pleased and said, my dear Rupa, please get up. The Lord then informed Rupa Goswami of the causeless mercy of a Krishna upon him. For Krishna had just delivered him from the materialistic way of a life, which is based simply on pounds and pennies. Then it said that the Lord accepted the two brothers as his devotees, and he cited a verse from a scripture stating that the Lord will not accept a Brahmana who studied the four Vedas if he does not a devotee. But he will accept the someone from a very low family if he is a pure devotee. Then the Lord embraced the two brothers, and out of his causeless mercy he touched their heads with his lotus feet. Blessed in this way, the brothers offered prayer to Lord in their own words. The prayers indicated that Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Krishna himself, that he had assumed a fair complexion form, that is Gauranga, and that he was the most munificent incarnation of a Krishna, because he was distributing love of Krishna. Then Supreme Lord is cognizant and all-powerful, and by His causeless mercy, He empowers a living entity to receive His mercy. People in general, being under the spell of a conditioned life, are averse to rendering devotional service and practicing Krishna consciousness. They are unaware of the teachings of Krishna consciousness, which reveal one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. The process by which one can return to the spiritual world and the ultimate goal of life, which is to return home back to Godhead. Because these are unknown to conditioned soul, Lord Chaitanya, out of His causeless mercy, instructed Rupa Goswami in the principles of devotional service. Later, Rupa Goswami distributed this science to the people in general. In the prologue to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 112, Srila Rupa Goswami describes Lord Chaitanya as follows. Hridayasya prerinaya pravrittito aham varakarupopi tasya hare padakamalam vande chaitanya devasya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. He has inspired me with the desire in my heart to write something about devotional service. For this reason, I am writing the book on the science of devotion known as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Beginning his 10 days of a continual instruction to Rupa Goswami, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Rupa, the science of devotional service is just like a great ocean. And so, it is not possible to show you its entire length and breadth. But I shall try to explain the nature of that ocean by taking just one drop of it. In this way, you can test it and understand that ocean of devotional service is actually." So here we can understand the Lord, He Himself is saying the devotion is unfathomable. Like ocean is unfathomable. You can't fathom the depth of ocean. So here He is saying the same thing. And that's why He said, I can give you just drop of that ocean. The same way, if you take a drop of ocean water and test it in the lab, chemically you will find the same. So He says that I am giving you just gist of that. And then you will come to know what devotion exactly. And then Lord explained that within this Brahmanda or universe, there are innumerable living entities who, according to their own fruitive activities, are transmigrating from one species of life to another, or from one planet to another. Does anybody remember one particular shloka from Brahma Samhita which gives idea about this particular thing? Suna? Which one? Which was? Yastvindra gopa mathavindra maho sakarma bandhanu rupa falabhajanoti karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. There, as Lord is equal to everyone, He give the result of the karma of each and every living entity according to the activities that He has performed. And He gets the body and He transmigrates from one body to another in this cycle of birth and death. Generally, we try to accuse someone else for our karma, you know. Something happens, you know, because of him. Because of him, because of him. We have everyone something to blame upon. Right? And if not, then husband has a wife and wife has a husband to blame on. Why? Because all we are conditioned. And we are in ignorance because we don't know why things are happening exactly. We don't want sufferings, but still they are coming. We want happiness, sometime we get. Why is it so? Someone is born poor, someone is born rich, someone is really handsome, cute, beautiful, and someone is ugly, nasty and disastrous. Why is it so? If Lord is equal to everyone, then Lord says, I am equal to everyone, but I am giving what you deserve actually. Karmanu, according to the Karmanu Shila, as per the karma that you have performed. If you have sown in your field the nice basmati, you are going to reap a basmati only. If you put a sona masuri, you are not going to get basmati, are you? No. What they say in English? What you sow, so shall you reap. Huh? So that's what actually. And further he says, in this way their engagement in material existence has continued since time immemorial. Why is it time immemorial? Because it said that eka eka yoni koti koti fera magalage vara manushya deva. As many as desire you have, that many lifetimes you have to take, you know. Because all your desire will not get fulfilled in one lifetime. Because each thing needs time, place and circumstances. To fulfill particular desire, like I wanted to fly in this 180 pounds, I can't fly. Can I? It's not possible. Unless and until some artificial things are there. If I have to fly, then I have to take, either I have to become a insect or either I have to become some bird. And to have that particular kind of a body, I need to have a particular situation, I need to have a particular karma, then I can get that body. To perform that karma, I need to have a particular environment. So that environment will come, I will perform that activity, and that may cause me to take birth like that. And it is, I don't know how many lifetime it may take. And that's why it is said, like, it's time immemorial, nobody knows. Now, right now I am in this body. Maybe in previous Kali Yuga, someone else was in this body. Because this is a covering for a soul. And this covering, you get it according to your karma, what you did in previous life. Then further he says, in actuality, these living entities are atomic parts and parcels of the Supreme Spirit. It is said in Shvetashvatara Upanishad that the length and breadth of the individual soul is 1/10,000 part of tip of the hair. Balagra shatabhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. What is the size of soul? The 10,000 part of the tip of our hair. Is there any microscope that can see that one? We are not able to find out this coronavirus here. Every time they give some different measurements about that. The atomic magnitude of the living entity is confirmed in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 11th canto, 16th chapter, text number 11. Guninam api aham sutram mahatam cha mahan aham. Sukshmanam api aham jivo durjayanam aham manaha. Where Lord is explaining his own opulences, which is the part of Uddhava Gita. There he explains that, among things possessing qualities, I am the primary manifestation of nature. And among great things, I am the total material creation. And among subtle things, I am the spirit soul. And of things that are difficult to conquer, I am the mind. So the finest object in this material world is soul, nothing else. Then further, Mahaprabhu says here, Sanandan Kumar, while performing a great sacrifice, quotes the following statement by the personified Vedas. Actually, there is a nice chapter in the 10th canto, 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the prayers that has been offered by the personified Vedas, they are given there. And they explain that aparimitaha dhruvastano bhrato yadi sarvas gatas trahina shasate tinyamo dhruva ne tartaha ajanicha ayanmayam tad avimuchya niyantre bhavet samam anudnyatam yad amatam mat dushastaya. He says that if the countless living entities were all pervading and possessed form that never changed, you could not possibly be their absolute ruler, O immutable one. But since they are your localized expansion and their forms are subject to change, you do control them. Indeed, that which supplies the ingredients for the generations of something is necessarily it's controlled, because a product never exists apart from its ingredient cause. It is simply illusion for someone to think that he knows the Supreme Lord, who is equally present in each of his expansion. Since whatever knowledge one gains by the material mean must be imperfect. So sometimes you may know something about anything, but not everything about something. It's beyond our conception. And further, he explains so many things here. I think we will continue next time, because it's going to get more technical, as Lord Gauranga is going to explain about jiva, then the nature, the prakriti, and how jiva gets entangled into that. So those part we'll discuss on next class. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai. चालू कर रहा हूं।